Dan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course the views of our callers right now. We're hoping to have our regularly scheduled guest here, but right now he doesn't seem to be here, so let's start talking a little bit about this. This resolution that passed the House Foreign Relations Committee condemning Turkey for something that happened in 1917 and 1918. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about 90 years ago. Why bother to bring up something like that at this time in history, especially when Turkey is a good ally of the United States and allowing us to overfly their country, allowing us to have an air base there that we utilize in our war in the Middle East. Now, as many of you know, I'm totally against the war in the Middle East, and I believe we should bring our troops home. But be that as it may, from a purely practical point of view, why would they bring up a resolution in the House Foreign Affairs Committee condemning Turkey for something that happened 90 years ago, the Armenian genocide? And here we find Tom Lantos, who certainly is very much pro-Israel. He's a congressman here in California, coming back, getting back on the committee specifically so he can back the president, who opposes the resolution. And, of course, the resolution is being actually put forward by some Israeli scholars who study the genocide. And obviously, this has tremendous implications because Turkey is withdrawing their ambassador from the United States, and this could create an international crisis with Turkey. Why would they do that 90 years after the fact? I mean, certainly we want to get something a little bit more recent. We could be concerned about the murder of 40 million Chinese between 1958 and 1952 in what was known as the Great Hunger. The figure usually used is 30 million, but and you can go up on the Internet, and they just starved them to death. Over a four-year period, they starved between 30 and 44 million, I believe probably it was well over 40 million Chinese. So why don't we talk about that? Why are we going back to what happened, you know, back in ancient history, 90 years ago? And it was a terrible thing, but why bring it up right now? Well, it appears that somebody wants to create a rift between Turkey and the United States. And then, of course, stop and think about it. Certainly, Turkey is the only country there in that part of the world that gets along with Israel and more or less their tacit ally. In fact, recently, when Israel flew a sortie over into Syria, they crossed Turkish airspace. So, obviously, there's been a good relationship between Turkey and Israel. But, of course, is that good relationship going to end if Turkey breaks the relationships with the United States? Lots of unanswered question. And do we have William Grigg here?
You have.
Oh, well, fine. Thank you so very much for being with us, William. I don't know if you had any position at all on this situation evolving as far as Turkey and the United States, but somebody is obviously trying to stir up the pot, create a problem. The Turks are reacting, as you might anticipate. Having said we're highly offended, we're going to pull our ambassador home. And, of course, right now we need all the friends we can in the Middle East. And, is this an organized effort simply to embarrass the Bush administration, to hurt the war effort over there, which, of course, both you and I are opposed to? But
exactly.
It's very interesting to see how this is playing out, because, obviously, this has nothing to do with the genocide that happened 90 years ago. It has something to do with trying to damage relationships between the United States and Turkey, and Israel and Turkey. When we get back, you can give us your thoughts on
all
that,
right,
or whatever you'd like to talk about. We can talk about what we talked about last night.
Sounds great.
We'll be back in just a moment with William Grigg, the former senior editor for the New American Magazine, and always one of our favorite guests.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
The digestive tract, a natural waste factory built within all of our bodies. Roughly 25 feet of tunnels designed to absorb nutrition and then dispel the waste. But what happens when the waste gets clogged up? More than 4 million Americans have frequent constipation, accounting for 2.5 million physician visits a year. Now there's AlloCleanse, an all-natural formula based on herbs and safe enzymes. AlloCleanse gently sweeps the entire digestive tract and supports comfortable, regular bathroom habits. You'll feel lighter, and you'll feel clean inside. And when you remove the waste buildup with AlloCleanse, you'll have more energy. Energy to use on other things, besides worrying about constipation.
For a risk-free trial of AlloCleanse, call 1-800-890-3525. Call in now to find out how you can get two free gifts with your order. Try AlloCleanse risk-free by calling 1-800-890-3525. That's 1-800-890-3525.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Again, our guest is William Grigg. William, what would you like to talk about?
I think you brought up a very provocative subject already with respect to this diplomatic imbroglio involving Turkey, the United States, and the resolution dealing with Armenian genocide. I do think that it's necessary for the purposes of historical integrity to acknowledge that there was a genocide committed back in the early decades of the 20th century. It involved civilian disarmament, as all genocides inevitably do. I do think it's staggeringly hypocritical of Congress to be worked up in a lather about a genocide that occurred the better part of a century ago, rather than addressing the abundant war crimes being committed by the administration that rules us right now in the course of this completely immoral, unbiblical, anti-constitutional war that's being prosecuted in Iraq, which is doing a lot to engender hostility on the part of Turkey, which is the only predominantly Muslim ally that the United States has, unless you include Saudi Arabia as an ally, which I don't. They're more in the position of a slave master, actually. It's interesting to point out that, and I think it's useful to point out and interesting to consider the fact that about 4 years ago, there was an incident involving 11 Turkish commandos who were taken into custody by U.S. troops in an Iraqi city, I believe on the border there, the northern part of Iraq, in what is called Kurdistan, if I remember correctly. And, of course, that's a very poignant and acute flashpoint here in the relationship between the United States and Turkey, because if you have independence-minded Kurds in the northern part of Iraq, there are Kurds in Turkey who are becoming restive and threaten the territorial integrity of Turkey, and so they don't like that idea to begin with. And then you have these 11 Turkish commandos who were arrested, shackled with bags over their heads. Photographs of that incident were the source of a great deal of public outrage in Turkey. And a film was produced that cost several millions of dollars to make. It was the most expensive film in Turkish history. They spent on that film what your typical Hollywood production would spend on catering, I think, for your typical film produced in the United States. But it was still the most lavishly produced film in Turkish history, called Valley of the Wolves, Iraq, that broke all kinds of box office records in Turkey. It was literally a Turkish Rambo, and the setting was Iraq. And the premise was that this Uber soldier of Turkish extraction was seeking revenge against the United States and its allies in prosecuting a war that was seen as an anti-Muslim crusade, and specifically anti-Turkish in the way it was being fought. And this film peddled some of the hoariest and most threadbare anti-Semitic canards you could imagine. For instance, there was a physician in the film who was portrayed as a Jew who was extracting the organs out of Iraqi patients and sending them to New York to be used by wealthy patients. You know, this is the sort of stuff that really would have seemed just a trifle excessive if it had been put out by state filmmakers in Berlin in 1936, but that was the biggest film in Turkey in, I believe, 2005, 2006. I can't remember exactly when it came out. But that, I think, points out the fact that the relationship between Washington and Ankara has become rather strained, and this resolution is probably intended to drive a wedge between the United States and Turkey in anticipation, I think, of a broader war in the region where we'll be left bereft of allies, whether temporary allies or people who actually have a community of interest with us. It's difficult to say that the Turks have a community of interest with the United States. They're being brought into the European Union. The demographic consequences and cultural consequences of that are worrisome to people in Europe because, of course, you may remember that they fought for centuries to keep the Turks out of Europe back when it was called Christendom. And it's almost as if you could go back in a time machine to the Battle of Lepanto and tell these people who sacrificed tremendously to keep the Turks at bay, hey, don't even bother, because in several hundred years, about 350 years or so, your descendants are just going to hand the keys to the continent over to the Turks anyway. And so there are some real contradictions involved in this, where on the one hand, the powers that be on both sides of the Atlantic are welcoming Turkey into the embrace of the European Union. On the other hand, they're pursuing policies which are playing to the very potent, latent nationalistic tendencies of Turkey and creating a situation where they're likely to become very much ill-disposed toward us, as at a time when we're getting very deeply mired in the Middle East in wars that we shouldn't be fighting.
Well, you know, I think the one thing about Turkey is that most of our listeners probably don't realize that the feeling of the general population is not reflected by the leadership. They have a military dictatorship. They have a military dictatorship that goes back to the time of Ataturk. The people there are Muslim. The government is secular. Doesn't matter, you know, who the people want. I mean, they always are in control. They do have an elected parliament, but ordinarily, they have no say at all. The executive branch, the judicial branch of Turkey is always in the hands of these secular people who may be Arabs, but they're certainly not Muslims. And they have a completely different agenda, and they want to identify with Europe rather than with the rest of the Muslim world, because they are not true followers of Allah, as the rest of the Muslim world is. So basically what you have in Turkey, although I think it's manifest, it's certainly in Egypt and probably in Saudi Arabia and in Pakistan, is you have dictatorships that are in power that our government is working with, but they do not reflect the will of the people. And my fear is if we get into a war with Iran over there, well, there's going to be uprisings of the people, and they're going to overthrow all of these governments. And then the radical Islamists will take over that whole area, including Pakistan's nuclear weapons and intercontinental or at least intermediate range missiles. And we will have opened Pandora's box, and there's no way to get Pandora back.
Well, if the Islamists take over Pakistan, the next thing to happen is a nuclear exchange on the subcontinent with India.
Right.
And that, of course, conjures up the specter of horrors very few people can imagine, because you've got two religions there which are deeply nihilistic, neither of which preaches a doctrine of an afterlife based on considerations of compassion and turning the other cheek and other things that are very prominent tenets of the Christian worldview. I should say this with respect to the Turks. In spite of the fact that I obviously don't share their worldview or their religion of the common run of the Turkish population, I do have a great deal of respect for them as warriors. And I'll give you a really good example. The Turks were brought into the Korean conflict as an ally of the West through the United Nations, which, of course, is a terrible situation any way you look at it. But the fact is they were on the ground in Korea. Many of them were captured fighting the North Korean and Chinese communists and taken into POW camps at a time when many Americans were turned through indoctrination, what is now called brainwashing. Not a single Turk was turned by the communist captors. They maintained their military discipline even in the course of their captivity, and they frightened the Korean POW guards. The POW authorities, the people that are running the prisoner of war camps for the North Korean communists, were terrified of the Turks, because when the Turks were not carrying out the functions assigned to them by their captors, they were wrestling with each other. They would have wrestling tournaments, and when the Turks wrestle, it's really a spectacle to behold. These are people who will wrestle you on gravel. It's one of the national obsessions of Turkey, and it forms their culture, and it informs their sensibility as warriors. And so there's a certain respect I have for them in that dimension of their composite personality as a nation. I do think that's quite admirable, and I've always been inspired by the fact that at a time when many Americans yielded to the indoctrination of the communists who were running the POW camps in Korea, not a single Turk found himself susceptible to that. So there is something admirable in that element of their personality. That having been said, once again, you're right about the nature of that government. It is a military junta. Ataturk secularized Turkey, post-Ottoman Turkey, very brutally. I mean, he wasn't just brutal to the Armenians. He was brutal to everybody. And they are very much of a type with Egypt. I've been to Egypt. Egypt is not a military dictatorship in an overt way, but you'd have to consider it to be a corrupt oligarchical dictatorship. I've always found it ironic that the neocons talk about the war in Iraq as part of the struggle against Islamofascism. There are Islamofascist governments in the world. They're all allied with Washington, whether you're talking about Egypt or Pakistan or Turkey.
You're absolutely right. And sometimes, you know, as you look at the world, things going on in the world, it appears that everything is insane. And then other times, why, you're absolutely certain everything is insane.
Those are our options, I'm afraid.
Right.
And what you described here in terms of this possibility of a wave of radicalism being unleashed by an attack on Iran, who is it who is preaching that? The fellow who's preaching that is Osama bin Laden. No, he is this omnipotent troglodyte who's supposedly an immediate threat to everybody who takes a plane or visits an airport or tries to travel outside the United States. I mean, from the perspective that our government has here, we're supposed to believe that Osama bin Laden is, once again, this all-powerful cave dweller. And at the same time, our government is pursuing a strategy which is designed, it seems, to consummate the stated agenda of Osama bin Laden by unleashing this wave of radicalism in the Middle East. At least that would be the logical consequence of what would happen were we to attack Iraq, or Iran, rather. By attacking Iraq, we've advanced that agenda. I think by attacking Iran would end up bringing it to its fulfillment.
I'm afraid you're absolutely right. In fact, there's far more terrorism in the world today and far more of this radical Islamism in the world today than there was on the 11th of September 2001. So until people understand that everything we're doing is to inflame the Islamic world, and I do not believe the people in Washington, D.C. are stupid. I think they know exactly what they're doing. We're creating and fomenting the best enemies money could buy.
That's been their course of action now for quite a while, and the thing that most infuriates me about all this is that, while I do think that you're right, most of the people who are working behind the scenes, you know, the partially concealed power elite, to use the expression I think best describes the situation, they're certainly not stupid. Stupidity can only explain so much. I mean, after a certain point, people who are at least blessed with rudimentary intelligence can understand that certain things don't work. And when we keep going back to those policies time and time and time again, despite the fact that they're manifestly unsuccessful, something other than stupidity must be in play here. I think the problem is with an easily distractible public, the fact that people very readily consume the pre-digested myths that are served to them by the custodians of polite opinion. And that, of course, is reflected in a Congress that knows better. Most of the people in Congress certainly know better than what they're doing. And yet they all find themselves aligned very readily with the agenda that's being laid out for them. They find their places just like iron filings tracing the fields encircling a magnet. It's just really a frustrating thing. And it all starts, I think, with public ignorance that is...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with William Craig.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
A constant struggle between ignorance and apathy. Ignorance always wins because apathy just doesn't care. But the problem with respect to our foreign policy in the Middle East here is finally becoming acute enough that people are starting to notice, albeit in ways that don't immediately translate into public influence. I think that a lot of people have been browbeaten into believing that they have to keep their own counsel when they oppose the war, because by doing otherwise, they'd be undermining the commander-in-chief. It's one of these clap for Tinkerbell type situations where we're told that if we criticize the commander-in-chief or criticize the war effort or undermine the morale of the troops, that their ability to protect us from these all-encompassing Islamist hordes will be compromised. The next thing you know, planes will be falling out of the sky. People will have their throats slit by the hundreds, and women will be stuffed into burqas. I mean, if you make the mistake of listening to Republican-aligned talk radio, you'll get nothing but an incessant diet of that type of nonsense. And it does have an impact, albeit that impact is a limited one in the sense that the hardcore, really chauvinistic, almost cultist, the adherence to Bush and that agenda are somewhat dwindling away. But there's enough of them that they have the effect, I think, of intimidating a lot of other people into silence. Most of the people in my family, for instance, and I'm sure you've had this experience as well, consider it to be rude to the point of almost being beyond forgiveness to express in public a negative opinion of the foreign policy of the Bush administration with respect to the Iraq war, the strategic liability that we've assumed here by taking over the maintenance of Iraq. And they think that it's somehow akin to sedition to say that we ought to remove our troops immediately. Now, God bless Representative Ron Paul for making a point of saying that utterly unabashedly in every debate, if you want to call these debates, they're actually joint press conferences, gang press conferences, but at every one of these events, he's been very forthright and very bold and very candid. I thought it was really revealing as well how during one of these so-called debates, as Ron Paul was talking about the foolishness of the invasion and occupation of Iraq, Mitt Romney, who was very usefully described as a Manchurian candidate minus the military experience, I think that's the best way to describe him, Mitt Romney sneeringly interrupted, saying, have you forgotten 911? Now, that's a Pavlovian call and response approach. And when we hear 911, and this, of course, has become Rudolph Giuliani's meat and drink. I mean, he is, in the words of The Onion, that satirical journal which has most of the real news that we read in newsprint these days, The Onion said that Rudy Giuliani is running for the presidency of 9/11. But the problem here is that Giuliani and Romney are trying to do the same thing that Bush and Karl Rove did, which is to impress on the public mind through simple repetition the idea that 9/11 is this open-ended and bottomless mandate to be committed to this policy of war, intervention, occupation, and bellicosity, and that if we don't do everything that the great and glorious decider, the dear leader, has ordained for our country, that we've forgotten the lessons of 9/11, and 9/11 will happen to us again, because that omnipotent troglodyte living in a cave over in Pakistan somewhere is ever ready to take advantage of us if we undermine the ability of the dear leader to protect us. It really is operating the level of pernicious magical thinking. Like I said, it's almost cult-like.
And I certainly agree with you. Of course, nobody ever bothers to point out, well, then, did Afghanistan attack us on 9/11? Did Iraq attack us on 9/11? Well, I mean, I thought it was 15 Saudis armed with bombs.
Exactly.
And, you know, and certainly, if it was the Saudis, why didn't we go to into war with Saudi Arabia? After all, you know, Osama bin Laden himself is a Saudi, and the Afghans had agreed, actually, to push, you know, Osama bin Laden out of their country, to send him to another country for trial.
Yeah.
And it appeared that we really didn't want a peaceful solution. We had our troops on the ground 3 weeks from that date of that attack. How were you possibly able to launch a major war against Afghanistan within 3 weeks unless it was all planned ahead of time?
Yeah, well, the thing that I find really interesting, this is something we've discussed before, and I know that your listeners and those who have read the materials that you made available are aware of this, that the Afghans were frantic to get rid of Osama bin Laden. They were trying everything they could to get rid of Osama bin Laden. They were doing everything they could to try to placate the concerns of the Bush administration before 9/11 and before the invasion of Afghanistan. The same thing, of course,
Hold that thought, William. We'll be back in just a moment here with William Gregg.
order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, all debt has become mathematically impossible to repay, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border back with the Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts. Now to be on the Great Genesis Communications Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central. Formidable Alex Jones says, "This is the network often imitated, but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with the Divided Kingdom."
Well, we stand here at the Genesis Network. Our guest is William Grieg. William, before we go on, I do want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your blog. I should say your blog. William has a fascinating a column there. You'll find it on his blog. It's updated on a regular basis and almost daily. All sorts of great information. So it doesn't do any good, though, to have it on the blog if people aren't going there. How can people get the information you're putting out?
Well, I appreciate your kind words. The easiest way to find my blog is to go through the web portal called The Right Source. And the web address for that is www.rightsourceonline.com. Once again, that's one word, rightsourceonline.com. And as you type in that URL, you look at the screen, you scroll down the screen about a third of the way through the page, you look at the left-hand border, you'll find my photograph, and next to my photograph are two hyperlinks. The furthest one away from my photograph will take you to the blog, which is entitled Pro Libertate. That's a Latin phrase that means for freedom. As you mentioned, I do try to update that frequently. It's updated between 4 and 6 times a week. As a matter of fact, about 10 minutes before we began this interview, I updated it with my most recent entry, and I'll probably be updating it over the weekend. And the Right Source Online itself, as I mentioned, is a web portal. It has the text of important stories, both news stories and commentary articles and essays. And we're also posting videos more frequently there as well. And we're trying to expand that into a more fully formed three-dimensional web portal with multimedia capacity. So if you go to rightsourceonline.com, you'll find all of that, including, as I mentioned before, the link to my blog. And I once again really appreciate the very generous comments about the blog.
Well, I always look forward to it. Well, anyway, where were we when we, before you were so rudely interrupted before?
We were talking, I think, about the fact that the Taliban in Afghanistan was desperately trying to expel Osama bin Laden before the 9/11 incident, and that the Bush administration, being aware of this, did nothing to avail themselves of the offers that were made by the Taliban to get rid of their pestiferous host. And, of course, at Tora Bora, Osama bin Laden was allowed to escape. That's told in the memoir Jawbreaker, the fellow who was in charge of the CIA operation there, that was intended to pen in and to capture Osama bin Laden. He was allowed to get away. And so you're dealing here with the obvious indifference at best, and I would say the malignant intention at worst of the Bush administration having to do with this individual who supposedly is the mastermind of this all-encompassing plot to kill us because we're free. Now, the other thing that I thought was interesting, and I think, once again, this is something we've discussed before, was the fact that Saddam Hussein had offered to abdicate in the weeks leading up to the attack on Iraq in March of 2003. Bush gave that dramatic speech where he swaggered out in metaphorical cowboy attire and told Saddam Hussein and his sons to get out of town. Well, Saddam Hussein and his sons had offered to get out of town. And this is something which was confirmed just a couple of weeks ago by this transcript of a conversation between Bush and José María Aznar, the Prime Minister of Spain. Prior to the attack, Bush admitted that Saddam Hussein had offered to abdicate. Now, the idea discussed by Bush, which is a unique take on this, was that Saddam Hussein was demanding something like $1 billion and a certain quantity of secrets having to do with his unconventional arsenal, his so-called weapons of mass destruction, his biological and chemical weapons programs, which were underwritten by Washington and Moscow, primarily by Washington, actually, by U.S. taxpayers, and which were carried out with the help of technical and material aid he got from Washington and from Moscow. So it's not as if he had anything that Washington wasn't aware of, because we bought most of it. I was actually sort of surprised, if you forgive a brief parenthetical digression here, I was surprised that there were no active chemical or biological weapons. I thought he had those in his arsenal. And one of the reasons I've explained to people I was surprised by their absence is because, you know, we had bought and paid for them. So obviously, at some point, they existed. Either the programs existed or the materials existed there. And I actually expected that we would have some trouble with that arsenal. But I never considered it to be a threat, because chemical and biological weapons are not weapons of mass destruction, because neither one of them has the type of yield and throw weight as a nuclear bomb. I knew that Saddam didn't have nukes. That, of course, was the Chimera, being used to frighten the public into accepting a war against Iraq, was the idea that we'd have a nuclear 9/11, that the smoking gun would be a mushroom cloud, to use a very overworked figure of speech that was pressed into service shamelessly in 2002 and early 2003.
Let me just interject here for just a moment. There is no question in my mind that Saddam did have weapons of mass destruction. About a week ago, I had General Mike DeLong on, and he was the assistant chief at CENTCOM there in Tampa, Florida, where everything in the Iraq theater, the Middle East, was covered. And he told me, he wrote in his book, A General Speaks Out, and Inside CENTCOM, two books, and that basically Saddam had those. They were loaded into a truck convoy and taken to Syria. Now, I'm sure this is true, because it's been confirmed by Joel Skousen, Dory Gold, who was the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, when we interviewed him. And this is one nice thing about what I do. I get a chance to talk to a lot of smart people. Sure. People with Israeli intelligence. Everybody knows that the weapons of mass destruction of the biological and chemical warheads were smuggled into Syria. The question in my mind, and I asked General Mike DeLong the same question, well, since the Bush administration knew exactly what you knew there at CENTCOM headquarters, why did they not, you know, at least go ahead and say, this is what happened to them, they were taken into Syria, or Why didn't they plant some weapons of mass destruction? That would have been the logical thing to have done. Why did they allow this whole myth to go forward that there weren't any weapons of mass destruction? So there's an agenda here, and of course, General DeLong said, I don't know, I've never been able to figure it out. I asked the same thing of Dorgold, who everybody who in the know on this, the weapons were there, they are actually in Syria today, and I fear that if there is going to be a war in the Near East with Israel, that many of those weapons of mass destruction, the chemical and biological warheads, will be used against the Israeli people. And Mr. Barak, who is the defense minister of Israel, has taken the gas masks away from about half the Israeli people, so they have nothing to defend themselves if such an attack comes. And you have to ask yourself, why? None of this makes sense. I fear we may know the answer to those questions very soon, but please go right ahead.
Well, as soon as you get a better look at the picture, I'm sure it will make sense in a very terrifying way. It's just that if you proceed on the assumption that we're being told the truth and this doesn't make sense, obviously at some point when the truth is more fully appreciated, it will make some kind of malignant sense. I am a persuadable skeptic with respect to the idea that Saddam managed somehow to spirit away an arsenal quite that big. I've read a lot of materials on the subject. I'm not fully persuaded, but I will say this. If indeed this happened, this is something that could have been prevented, and it wasn't prevented, as you point out. And I think it's because the powers that be, for whatever reason, think it's a desirable thing for weapons of that description to be in the hands of regimes of that description, because they're in the business of cultivating enemies in order to bring about pretext for war. It used to be understood that the purpose of statecraft was to prevent wars, if possible. And now we have a certain type of statecraft where wars are actively sought and the conditions for wars are diligently created. You know, it used to be an understood principle that you created alliances in order to deal with enemies. And now we create enemies in order to justify alliances. That's something that was actually said by one of the bright boys at the CFR in Time magazine about 10 years ago when he said that the problem is if we do away with Saddam Hussein, that means the destruction of the anti-Saddam coalition, which would be a terrible thing. And that, of course, would strike our founding fathers as complete absurdity because they understood that we would enter into alliances on a temporary contingent basis, and once a specific task had been accomplished by that alliance and the alliance no longer had a raison d'etre, you'd do away with the alliance. Now we have these grand interlocking coalitions, the so-called coalition of the willing in Iraq being one small example of this, but standing transnational, international bodies like the UN, like the NATO alliance, which is a regional subsidiary of the UN, like the alliances and economic pacts that are being created in Latin America and Asia, Europe, and the Near East. And in order to justify creating these things, you have to have some kind of a plausible threat. So the people who are in charge of creating these alliances, these structures of power, cultivate threats. They did that with Saddam. They did that with Osama bin Laden. They're doing that with Ahmadinejad to a lesser extent. I mean, he's got an independent base of power, although he is a client of Russia primarily and a business partner of the Chinese. But I do think that it's gotten to the point now where at least a strong plurality of the public is starting to understand that we're being played, that rather than dealing with threats that materialize spontaneously, we're dealing with threats that are being cultivated, that there's a certain husbandry at work here.
Well, I think the people who listen to you and to me and a few of the others are beginning to get the picture. I just wish we had tens of millions of listeners rather than a few million. But we'll glad for what we have.
Well, I think that once again, I keep adverting to the Paul campaign here, but the really important thing about the Ron Paul campaign is not necessarily whether or not he gets the nomination or wins election to the White House, because you'd have to have a Congress that would be willing to work with a statesman like Ron Paul. I mean, if you had a situation where we had in our midst Washington, Madison, and Jefferson today, they couldn't get a whole lot done given the composition of power in Washington right now. With respect to the Congress and public opinion. People have gone completely statist and collectivist, and the principles that built our republic are misrepresented, misunderstood, or maligned, simply ignored. But what's really encouraging about the Ron Paul campaign, I think, is that it shows that there is a fairly sizable portion of the public, politically active, well-informed, and very young, that understands the principles, that cherishes the principles, people who resonate like tuning forks when the message of liberty is being preached. And that's an encouraging thing. I can't overestimate or overemphasize how important that is, just in terms of having some sense that the problems we confront are tractable. And I take great satisfaction and solace in that fact.
Well, you know, I'm often reminded of those words of Andrew Jackson, who was one of my favorites. And he said, you know, one man with courage is a majority.
Yeah.
And he stood against his cabinet was against him, his vice president was against him, the Congress was against him, the media was against him, and he said the bank is going to have to go. It'll be either Jackson and no bank, or a bank and no Jackson. And he won.
You know, my middle son, Isaiah, his middle name is Athanasius. And Athanasius was somebody who said something very similar. He said, one man on God's side is a majority.
Right.
He stood for the true doctrine of the identity of Jesus Christ at a time when most of the then adolescent Christian church had embraced a heresy that preached that Christ was a created being and not fully divine. And Athanasius stood against that heresy. And he suffered greatly for it. But I do appreciate the fact that throughout history, both American history and in the larger history of Christian civilization, there have been people who have been unwilling to reconcile themselves to defeat simply because they were outnumbered. You know, these blessed intransigents, these refractory people, you know, the irreconcilables, the people who understood that it doesn't matter whether the entire world is of one opinion, save one. If that one person with that right opinion is in the right, then he has to hold his ground. Unfortunately, now we have a person in the White House, in the personage of George W. Bush, who is manifestly, obviously, materially, documentably deluded and delusional. And unfortunately, he operates a machinery of coercion that is service to his delusions, and his delusions, furthermore, are in the service of people behind the scenes who actually wield the real power. And I think that if a critical mass were reached in terms of public revulsion with what's going on, the people running that machinery are going to have to back off in a hurry. Because a lot of what they do, and I'm sure you understand this as well, a lot of what the power elite does, they do through bluff. Because they're bullies, and being bullies, they're cowards. And I wish more people would understand that.
Well, you know, I think it's so interesting, though, that Ron Paul is winning all of these debates, at least according to the polls, and whether it's MSNBC or CBS, and they do these internet polls, and, you know, I think of the last one, just this last week, where Ron Paul got 74% of the vote. I think Giuliani got 3%, and they took the poll down.
Exactly.
And, of course, the thing is that we know that if people hear Ron Paul's message, they back him because he's saying what the average American feels. He's talking about freedom. He's talking about doing away with the IRS. He's talking about, you know, getting honest money and doing away with the Federal Reserve System. He's talking about cutting back on government and getting out of Iraq. And that's what people want to hear. No, if we could get his message out, why, I have no question that he would overwhelmingly win both the Republican and the Democratic primary. Of course, he would be running at the Democratic primary, but I think there are an awful lot of Democrats who resonate to his message.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. And one thing about Ron Paul that distinguishes him from another Ronald who ran for the presidency, Ronald Reagan, is that Ron Paul actually has a tangible record he can run on. As a multi-term congressman, he has never voted for an unconstitutional program. He's never voted for a tax increase. He has been the most stalwart defender of the government limited by law that the Constitution mandates here. And Ronald Reagan, by the time he ran for the presidency, he had a record. He was a two-term governor of California, and he executed that office in California as one would expect a former New Deal Democrat to do so. I mean, he was not a conservative. He was somebody who made vivid the truth of that axiom that you can show up for work as late as you want to as long as you establish early on a reputation for punctuality. I mean, because he early on established a reputation as being a right-wing anti-government extremist, you know, he could govern like a New Deal Democrat or World Federalist, and he had both of those items in his resume, and still be considered to be a conservative Republican. And, you know, Ron Paul, on the other hand, is somebody who has been a true statesman in the constitutional sense. And so it's not just that he's somebody who speaks very well. You know, I mean, it was said of Cicero, when Cicero speaks, the people say how well he speaks, but when Demosthenes spoke, the people said, let us march. And in Ronald Reagan, the so-called great communicator, and Ron Paul, you got the difference between a mere Cicero and a Demosthenes, although it's flattering to either of them compared to Cicero, who was a real statesman. But it's more than just empty rhetoric, and it's more than just eloquence that doesn't cast a shadow, because it's the product of a definable history of resolute defense of constitutional principle. And that's what makes what he says so credible.
Well, I certainly have come from California. I was here when Ronald Reagan was the governor. He gave us the biggest tax increases in the history of our nation. And when he got into Washington, D.C., contrary to what everybody believes, I think it was the tax law of 1983 or 84, he gave us the biggest federal tax increases we'd ever had, and nobody ever wants to mention that. Our guest has been William Grigg, and of course, we're going to let him go. But thank you so very much, William. We'll look forward, really look forward to having you with us again next week.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, fine. Well, William Grigg is one of the most articulate spokesmen we have on our side. We've got right on our side. We just need to get the people to understand what freedom is all about.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protection of thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Want to know my little secret? I have rich, delicious chocolate as much as I want every single day, and I never feel bad about it. Cocoa Pure Chocolate Tea gives you real natural cocoa without any fat or sugar. Even better, Cocoa Pure is made with nutrients that keep my heart healthy, my energy levels up, and my body looking great. I'm having smooth, tasty chocolate every single day, and it's helping me stay healthier than ever. You can give yourself the gift of health by calling for a bottle of Cocoa Pure Chocolate Tea. The only thing better than chocolate is healthy chocolate. Here's how you can get a bottle of delicious Cocoa Pure Chocolate Tea.
For your risk-free bottle of Cocoa Pure Chocolate Tea, call 1-800-894-3596. And if you call now, you can find out how to get a free bottle of Cocoa Pure with your order. Call 1-800-894-3596. That's 1-800-894-3596.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, if you'd like to verify the fact that Saddam Hussein had offered to leave Iraq before we invaded, if you can go to my January 2006 newsletter. We covered that there, January 2006. Not only that, but the Iraqi government had offered to let the American forces come in, and we simply quote there from a man named Michael Maloff, an employee of the State Department, who had actually delivered the surrender message from the Iraqi government that they were quite willing to have our forces come in, you know, just so we wouldn't invade. But you see, George Bush wanted a war. The people who surrounded him wanted the blood and the horror and the bloodshed, and so they refused to accept Saddam's offer to leave. They refused to accept the Iraqi offer to surrender, just exactly back in 1945 when the Japanese had tried again and again to surrender, and we wouldn't let them because they wanted to drop the nuclear bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. For verification of the story of what happened in Iraq before the war, my January 2006 newsletter, it's up on the internet at RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like a copy of the article out of the Chicago Tribune on the August 15th, 1945, we got this from the Chicago Tribune, and they've been trying over and over again to surrender, and we wouldn't let them. And I know this to be true, at least after the first bomb was dropped, while the Japanese contacted General Wedemeyer, who was in charge, and I spent a great deal of time with him. General Wedemeyer told me that the Japanese had contacted the Russians and pleaded with them to act as an intermediary, to go to the Americans and say, we're ready to surrender, don't drop any more of those bombs. And what did the Russians do? Why, they invaded Manchuria. I don't know whether they ever contacted Washington, D.C., but we wanted to drop the second bomb because it'd kill as many Japanese as we could. And boy, did we do a great job. Our killing machine is very effective, and you have to understand you have to be very evil to do things like that. And there were very evil people working the highest echelons of our government, people from Skull and Bones, Council on Foreign Relations, Masons. They were all there relishing the horror that they created for the poor people, the average citizens in Japan, who weren't involved in the war. They were just people like you and me that had been swept into this whole horrible situation. And now the Japanese are our good allies. In those 8 days, we relished having them slaughtered. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we need to remind you that Radio Liberty is, of course, holding an all-day conference on October 28th. That's October 28th. And here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay at the Aptos East Cape Golf Course. And we're opening the doors at 7:30. We'll go till 5:30 in the evening, 5 or 5:30. We hope you can come. We're bringing in outside speakers. Dr. Garth Nicholson, one of my favorites, will be there. Ron Brown. Be talking about finances. And, well, I think we'll have a great time. So if you could make it, you're going to have a reservation because we're serving lunch. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And it looks like we're going to get a good crowd. I just hope you can be there. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there, live programs 4 hours a day, and, of course, archive programs 9 hours a day, a constant stream 9 hours a day. On our Telstar 5 feed. You can also get our programs archived or on MP3. Get others to listen. Hopefully we can begin to get them educated about what's going on. And then, of course, you can see many of our videos there. You can read our newsletters, RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, we want to remind you, if you've not already purchased your emergency foods for the coming difficult times that lie ahead, if you need a catalog, we'll be glad to send you a catalog that tells you all the things that you do need and how to get them. And if you already have a catalog, do not put it off, because we do not know when the crisis is going to come. And when it comes, believe me, there's going to be no going back. There's going to be no getting any supplies at that time. Remember, of course, that we have the smallest supplies of food on hand here in the United States that we've had since the 1970s. There's shortages of wheat and of course, we also are getting genetically modified food. The prices are going up. So if you want to do it now. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. We'll be right back for the next hour.
Now, Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as triomethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious crystal-clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
You are listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course the views of Pastor David Whitney for this hour. Ordinarily we were going to have Michael Perutka, who is certainly the organizer of the Institute of the Constitution, but Michael wasn't feeling well, so Pastor David agreed to come on short notice here. This afternoon, you ordinarily hear Pastor Whitney talking about the Constitution, and certainly going through it step by step, but we're going to do a little something different this afternoon. David, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you by radio. Last weekend, I was right out there in California, in Central California, up at the foothills of the Sequoia National Forest, a beautiful, beautiful area. We had a great conference there, Cahuilla Church, and 200 people attended, and I was very, very received very well, and it was just encouraging the kind of response people gave to the talks I gave there. And if you don't mind, I thought I'd just share one of those talks, kind of in a interchange here during our show tonight.
Oh, well, let's go ahead and do it, because I think it's great. It's so important that we have people out there reaching the average individual with an understanding what freedom, what liberty are all about. So you go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, we started in the first talk I gave there as to answering this question. Why is it necessary for every Christian, that is every disciple of Jesus Christ, to know the founding documents, the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and why is that essential? We started with what Jesus' last instructions were as he ascended to heaven. We have this great picture there in Acts chapter 1 of the disciples gathering around and Jesus ascending into the clouds, going ultimately to be seated at the Father's right hand in heaven, and he gave them final instructions just before he left, just before he ascended, and we commonly call those instructions the Great Commission. Matthew 28 records them. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And let me just pause there for a moment, because many Christians believe, or most Christians you would say believe, that, oh, Jesus, of course, he has all authority in heaven. But they have a little bit of problem when you talk about Jesus has all authority on earth. Well, that's what he said. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So he gives them specific instructions, and that is to make disciples, and then he gives them directions as to how they go about making a disciple. Be obedient, to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then teaching them, and this is very important, teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded. In other words, there's no exceptions. There's no commands that we can kind of say, well, I'll just leave that one to the side. I'm not comfortable with it or what have you. Every command that Jesus gave, those who are his disciples are to obey, and they're to teach other people to obey, other believers, other disciples to obey. And in this talk, we just want to really look at one of those commands. There's many of them. I know one ministry has published a study that covers 49 commands that Jesus made. And we just want to focus on one that Jesus commanded us regarding our duty as Christian citizens. And we'll see from Scripture, and we'll see from the application of the situation in our time and our place, that to be a fully obedient disciple of Jesus Christ today in these United States, you must know the founding documents of our country as well as the Constitution of your own state.
Well, of course, this is unfortunately not most people don't understand that. Most people, the only thing they know is Romans 13 that says we're to obey whatever we're told. And, of course, that is really, of course, not what our government is all about. God gave us a Christian republic. Isn't it a shame that most people don't even know what a republic is?
Those same old kitchen cabinets? Sears has a perfect solution for you and can give you a custom design look to match any budget. Call 1-800-300-8069 for a free design consultation and save $500 on your new kitchen. Offer ends 12-107. Installation provided by Sears authorized licensed contractors. License number available on request, not available in all areas. Call Sears now at 1-800-300-8069 and save $500. That's 1-800-300-8069. Sears, where it begins.
Looking for a new heating system? Enjoy comfort this winter with a new Carrier or Kenmore system from a name you can trust, Sears. With unbeatable pricing and our satisfaction guarantee, it's time you called Sears at 1-800-241-0746 for a free in-home consultation. Don't forget to ask about our special financing offer. Installation provided by Sears authorized licensed contractors. Licensing information available upon request. Offer ends 12-107. Call Sears now, 1-800-241-0746. Sears, where it begins.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com. Today.
Yeah, who's left out there? Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Whitney is simply talking about the encounter Jesus had with the Pharisees the last week of his life, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, in a very evil manner, were trying to trap him into making a false statement. And so they asked him, should we pay taxes? Knowing full well that if he said we should pay taxes, he would antagonize the Jews who resented paying taxes to Caesar. If he said you shouldn't pay taxes, well, then he would, of course, become a traitor to the Roman Empire and be liable to severe punishment or perhaps even death, advocating the people not obey the rules of the Caesar. So, of course, pick up the story there.
So when Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, he gave Caesar a limited jurisdiction, but he set boundaries on it because he immediately said, render to God the things that belong to God. In other words, Caesar cannot command you to do anything. Caesar can only demand what God has permitted him, only the jurisdiction that God has allowed him. In other words, only what is right and just. Christian citizens must obey when the commands given by Caesar are lawful, that is, they comply with God's law. But there did come a time just a few years later when Caesar and his stepchildren stepped out of their own proper jurisdiction and commanded that which no human authority could command. And then God's people stood up, as they did in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So Jesus wasn't given carte blanche here. Caesar can demand anything and obey him. No, he was giving limited role to Caesar's jurisdiction. Now, we need to remember also that Caesar was not the, or Tiberius was not the first Caesar. He was actually the successor to the very first Caesar, Augustus Caesar. And it's important to remember that at the death of Augustus Caesar, he was deified. He became part of the pantheon, the Roman pantheon of gods that were worshipped. And the emperor worship started with Augustus Caesar and grew increasingly strong among the succeeding, following Caesars, to the point which many Christians were martyred for their faith because they refused to worship Caesar. So we need to ask that question. Was Jesus saying that, you know, if Caesar demanded you worship him, you should worship him? No. Never render to Caesar, Jesus was saying. Never render to Caesar that which belongs to God. For example, to whom do we owe worship? To the one true God. Certainly not to any human being, because they are not God. We are not to worship them. And in contrast, so we owe a limited allegiance and a limited obedience to Caesar when he commands within a jurisdiction where he is following that which is right and just. But if he steps out of that, we're not to render to him obedience when he commands us to disobey the law of God. In contrast, what do we owe to God? Because Jesus said, you know, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. We owe everything to God, our life, our very soul, our worship, every aspect of our being. God is rightfully the one who can demand anything and everything of us. Caesar cannot. Well, when we think of Jesus' command, it brings us to this question. How should Jesus' command be applied today when our form of civil government is not that of the Roman Empire? We don't have a Roman Empire form of government here. And this brings us to the critically important question in applying Jesus' command. And that question is this. Who is Caesar in these United States? And you look around and you see there's many people who want to claim to be Caesar. For example, the resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Oftentimes he acts like he is Caesar, that he's above the law. In fact, in the day of Jesus, the Caesar claimed that basically anything he said was law. Law was whatever he said it was. And we certainly see that reflected in what our president has done in so many ways. Or how about another claimant to be Caesar in these United States? The nine lawyers wearing black robes. They issue opinions. And by the way, that's all they can issue, an opinion governing only one case, the case before them, and that case alone. These nine lawyers in black robes, from that marble mausoleum behind the U.S. Capitol, continually issue opinions. And they expect their opinions to be treated as if they were Caesar in America. They are not Caesar in America. Or how about the members of Congress? Oh, the members of Congress talk like they are, and they want to be Caesar, and they want to act like Caesar. But again, they are not Caesar in these United States. And, oh, we could talk about a long list of federal agencies that, whether it's the IRS or the BATF or, you know, just a huge list of agencies that all are acting as if they are Caesar, as if there's no limit on their power, and whatever they say, we must obey because they are Caesar. But they're not Caesar. The question, to answer the question, who is Caesar in America, we need to open our Constitution to the fourth article of the Constitution, in which is written, this Constitution, that is the Constitution of these United States, this Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. And by supreme law of the land, it means the final absolute standard of law in our country. That is, no one is above the law, whether he's the president or the Supreme Court or the Congress or any federal agency. Nobody is above the law, and if they issue a command in violation of the supreme law of the land, they are lawbreakers. They need to be treated as lawbreakers and not be allowed to get away with it. And just to be certain that nobody mistook what they were saying when they framed our Constitution, they continue in that fourth article of the Constitution. Excuse me, not the fourth. I'm looking at it wrong. It's the sixth article. Excuse me. Erase the past statements. It's the sixth article of the U.S. Constitution. It continues, the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, that is by the Constitution, and anything in the Constitution or laws of that state to the contrary notwithstanding. So not only on the federal level, but on the state level, the judges of every state are bound by the Constitution because it is Caesar. And then it continues, senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. The Constitution is Caesar in America. It is the supreme law. And anyone who makes a law, whether federal level or state level or local level, makes a law in violation of this Constitution, that law is null and void because it is not the supreme law of the land. Our Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And you see, that's why it is for American Christians, in order to obey Christ's command to render to Caesar, requires that we study and know the United States Constitution. Because if we don't know the Constitution, we certainly can't render to Caesar, our Constitution, that which Caesar commands of us as citizens and rightly commands of us as we look at it. And I'll show in a moment that surrender to Caesar also includes knowing three additional documents to our United States Constitution that altogether essentially are Caesar in these United States. So how can you as a Christian citizen render to the Constitution that which the Constitution rightly demands of you as a citizen? You can only do so by knowing the Constitution. And so when we look at what Jesus meant, it's given a very plain understanding if we put it in the context of that day. And I appreciate a commentary made by Lord Acton. It was back in 1877, because when Jesus said that, he said, Jesus gave to the state a legitimacy it had never before enjoyed and set bounds to it that had never yet been acknowledged. In other words, yes, there is a legitimate role that civil government has, but it has boundaries that civil governments do not like to acknowledge, and boundaries, in fact, they like to violate. And Lord Acton continues, and Jesus not only delivered the precept, but he also forged the instrument to execute it. To limit the power of the state ceased to be the hope of patient, ineffectual philosophers and became the perpetual charge of a universal church. That is a fascinating understanding of what Jesus is saying. Lord Acton is saying is the church plays in society a critical role. And that critical role is to keep the civil government within its God-ordained boundaries. And you look at the history of our country, you can see very clearly how that was done in the early days. Election sermons were preached by pastors. They preached sermons to the people before they went to the polls, telling them the kind of character they needed to select when they chose a representative of themselves, and the godly kind of character they needed to look for, that they were only to elect godly Christians to office, Christians who were people that kept their word and so on. So they first preached to the people making that, casting that precious vote. Then after the election took place, the governor of each state would call together the legislature and the judicial branch and the executive branch all together for a meeting. And then they would call a pastor into that meeting. And that pastor would preach a sermon to those elected and appointed officials, commanding that they obey God's law, God's word. They gave them a preaching to as to what their duty was to enforce the law of God, to punish the evildoers, and to reward the righteous. And so that's how the legislative year would begin once the election took place. They would have a good sermon on obedience to God's law. And that's an exact reflection of what Jesus designed to take place. That the church, because it's the expounder of the word of God, would expound the word of God to civil government. Say, this is the limits God's word has placed on your activities. This is what you are to do. This is what you are not to do. And today it's fascinating. You go back, and I have a couple volumes on my bookshelf of these sermons. And go back and read what kind of message was preached to the people going to vote, as well as the people who are elected to office, and that role that the church played in a very powerful way as central to keeping Caesar within his jurisdiction is a role that churches long ago, sad to say, have abandoned.
And if it's really the tragedy is that most of our churches are 501c3, they don't dare speak out on and endorse a candidate. My goodness, they'd lose their tax-exempt status. Now, that doesn't mean that the donations still wouldn't be tax-exempt, but the average individual doesn't understand that. And what's pretty is frightening is that so many of our ministers are simply going along with government. In fact, directives have been put out that if there is civil unrest in this country, well, the ministers are to go over to the people and say, remember Romans 13, you are to obey the government. And that, of course, is what tyrannies are made of. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney as we begin to explore what is the Christian's obligation. What should we be doing? Maybe we ought to try to understand our Constitution, which is really, of course, the foundation of the laws of this country, which most people have no idea what it's all about.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold pre-retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, all debt has become mathematically impossible to repay, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Pastor Chambers Whitney at the Institute of the Constitution, simply talking about the various foundations of our freedom, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, but then, of course, the amendments to the Constitution, specifically the Bill of Rights. And if you read the Bill of Rights, you find out that they were specifically designed to limit the power of the central government over the lives of the people. It was designed to limit the power of the central government over the lives of the people. It was a restrictive covenant, and they never teach that anymore at all, because, of course, they really want to expand the power so that the federal government will become our master and not our servant. Pick the story up there.
Well, I was about to say that the Tenth Amendment also, it was badly damaged in the war to prevent Southern independence 150 years plus ago now. And that Tenth Amendment has continually been crushed beyond recognition. Again, the limits that it placed upon the federal government have been ignored in terrible, terrible ways. Well, each of these actions is a violation of the supreme law of the land. And each violation should have raised a firestorm in our land. Impeachment of the guilty parties and a full restoration of our God-given rights. And the protection for our God-given rights is only a just and righteous civil government that follows the covenant that we have entered into, the contract that we have with it, our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And we've come to a very dangerous juncture in our land where the civil government, instead of being our servant, has become our brutal and ferocious master. And this has happened because the people of this land have been lulled into thinking that government is safe, that it runs on autopilot, you can pay no attention to it, and you're going to be safe. One founder, I believe Thomas Jefferson, rightly said that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. Vigilance against encroachments of our God-given rights. Vigilance against the violation of our contract that we have entered into with our federal government in creating that federal government. And so it's vitally important that a person know the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and subsequent amendments, which is what our Foundations course at Institute on the Constitution teaches and gives you a working knowledge of. But there's a fourth element in the contract, not only the Declaration, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and subsequent amendments. The fourth element of our contract is our state constitution. That state constitution limits the powers that our state government has, governor and legislators and judges and so forth. In Maryland, have developed a Maryland state constitution course that I'm currently teaching on Wednesday nights, and by God's grace, we're going to be teaching it to senators and delegates in Annapolis, our state capital, in January during their legislative session. When that starts up, we've been invited by a senator already to come and give that presentation over the course of several weeks there. And while I was there in California, one of the very encouraging things, a good friend there is taking up the mantle of studying the California Constitution and developing a course on the state law, the state supreme law, and that's the Constitution of the state of California. I have another friend in Florida who's interested in starting that same process in Florida, and well, we got three underway. Now we're praying that God would grant us the other 47, that we'll have ultimately 50 classes on each state constitution, because you cannot do your job as a Christian citizen, and you cannot restrict your state legislatures to do their job and only their job unless you know the state constitution of your state. And so it's our goal to be able to provide that for ultimately all 50 states throughout our country. And if we understand that that is what we need to do, that is what Christ has commanded us to do, then we know that we've got a lot of work on our hands. It's not a simple thing that we need to do, but it is required of us. It's not an option. It's not one of those commands Jesus gave that we could say, well, I'll put it aside. None of his commands can we do that, and certainly not this command. Now, to take a step back and get a picture theologically and biblically of what our form of government is, it helps to go to 2 Kings chapter 11. And in 2 Kings chapter 11, the high priest Jehoiada, it says in verses 17 and 18, Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord, the king, and the people. A three-way covenant here between the Lord, the king, and the people, or the Lord, the government, and we, the people. And the verse continues that they should be the Lord's people, and also between the king and the people. And that would be the constitution or the agreement between the king and the people as to how the government would be run and how it would be accountable to the people. And the verse that follows is very interesting, because once that agreement, once that three-way covenant was entered, and all the people of the land went down to the temple of Baal, the idol, and they tore it down. They abolished idolatry when they entered this covenant with the Lord, a three-way covenant. And that is a model for what our founders established when they established our covenant, which we'll talk about in just a moment.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a couple of moments with our Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And it's so vitally important people understand the foundation of our freedom, which is the Constitution, which is never mentioned. Our loyalty is not to our elected officials. It is the Constitution which they have sworn to serve.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show the victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now, our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last year. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running, and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website or more information, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Yes, there is an in-dash AM/FM shortwave radio. For limited time and in limited numbers, the Sony GT160S AM/FM shortwave radio and CD player is available only at the POW Hour. This radio is designed to eliminate interference from ignition systems, and the result is clear, clean reception, so you can hear your favorite broadcasts both domestically and internationally. Get your Sony AM/FM shortwave radio and CD player from the POW Hour today. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. To order. Only $249 plus shipping and handling, and we'll ship it right to you. There's even an input to plug in an external source. Your MP3 player, your iPod, your DVD player, or any other source will sound great through your new Sony receiver. These radios are not available anywhere else and for a limited time, so call now. Dial 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and get your Sony GT160S AM/FM shortwave radio and CD player from the Power Hour.
We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Pastor Whitney is pointing out that when they established the Constitution of the United States, and they're, of course, in the last article of the Constitution, they said, you know, and this is the Constitution signed, you know, on the day of our Lord, and specifically dates, and they mentioned our Lord. dating the foundation of this country to the birth of Jesus Christ. So pick the story of it, because this is such an important issue, and people like to say, well, there's no mention of God in that. Well, maybe, of course, they don't recognize our Lord as God, but the people who signed the Constitution did. And to them, the vast majority of them, why Jesus Christ was Lord.
And it's very clear they were establishing a covenant between our land and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because notice they didn't say the Lord Jesus Christ. They said our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very clear that they were establishing a three-way covenant here, just as 2 Kings describes in chapter 11, between the Lord and the people, and between the Lord and the king, and between the king and the people. So if you have at the top of that pyramid our Lord Jesus Christ, then you have on the bottom two legs of that pyramid, on the left-hand side, we the people, on the right-hand side, the civil government. Because if you take the very first words of this covenant, we the people, and then the last words, in the year of our Lord, is what, if you were to fill out the missing phrase there, in the year of our Lord, these two phrases stipulate this three-way covenant. Covenant between we the people and our Lord Jesus Christ, between we the people and our civil government, and between our civil government and the Lord Jesus Christ. And people might say, wait a minute, Dave, I think you're stretching the words of the Constitution to make something up here that really isn't the case. Not so. Consider this. In our Constitution, every single elected and appointed official on the federal level and on the state level must take an oath. And an oath is not as it's often conceived of today, some promise that you make to the people who elected you, you know, like a campaign promise, which is as worthless as the air that's breathed to word the promise in most politicians. An oath of office is not made to the people who elected you. It is a solemn promise to Almighty God, in other words, to our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if our founders wanted an atheistic secular government, they would have never required any office holder to make an oath to our Lord in order to hold office at all. Instead, they would have just said, you know, you take a promise that you're going to do what you said you're going to do, or something to that effect. And consider what Scripture says about an oath. An oath is a very serious thing. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 through 6 says, when you make a vow to God, and that's what an oath is, a vow to God, the most common one we think of course, is the wedding vow. It is an oath a married couple are making before Almighty God and to Almighty God. When you make a vow to God, Ecclesiastes 5 says, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. It is better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there is vanity, but fear God. So every office holder has to take an oath to the Lord Jesus Christ, an oath to Almighty God, to fulfill the requirements given to them in this written covenant, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration. Now, we the people, really, I'm going to show here how we have entered into a covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, but also that we enter into a covenant relationship with our civil government, and we fulfill our part of that covenant in our vote. Think about what Samuel Adams, who is rightly called the father of the American War for Independence, 1871, he wrote in the Boston Gazette, April 16th, let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society for which he is accountable to God and his country. Notice Samuel Adams very clearly understood this three-way covenant. He said, when you vote, you are exercising one of the most solemn trusts in human society, and you're going to be accountable to God. There's the arrow going to the top of the pyramid. You're accountable to God for that vote and to your country, to your fellow citizens, as well as your government. And so we are to hold elected officials accountable to the terms of our covenant by our votes. Vote them out of office when they violate the covenant. Vote those into office who will uphold the covenant. And as we've mentioned other times, the citizen actually has three votes that we cast. One at the ballot box, but there's two more powerful votes that you cast. One is a jury on a pettit jury, and even a more powerful one than that is on a grand jury. There you have it, and we don't have time to talk about all the details. We'll do some future date to talk about juries. But that is part of the covenant, the three-way covenant that we have. And the only way you can fulfill the command of Christ, fulfill your God-required responsibility as a citizen who is part of this three-way covenant, is to understand the terms of that covenant. In other words, to have a working knowledge of the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration, Bill of Rights, and the subsequent amendments. But there's one more element we need to consider, and that is our citizenship oath. Yes, the civil officials take an oath before Almighty God, an oath for their office, and we have a commitment to our government through our vote. But we also have a citizenship oath that even if you serve in the military, you take that oath. If you are elected to any office on a state or federal level or appointed to any such office, you also take that oath. But there's an oath that every citizen is responsible to fulfill, and we know that because you can be tried for treason, for violating your oath of citizenship. And so even if you are not a naturalized citizen and have actually taken that specific oath as a naturalized citizen, you are held accountable for that oath nonetheless. And that oath reads currently, I hereby declare on oath, and that means I'm taking this oath before Almighty God, before the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of our nation. I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by law, that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. Wow, that's a powerful promise, an oath, a solemn vow made before Almighty God. Well, you may not have ever taken that individually, but you are still held accountable to it because you can be tried for treason if you become a domestic enemy of the United States. And I think it might even be a good idea that anybody who registers to vote should have to take this oath before they're permitted to vote, and also pass a course on the U.S. Constitution, so it's like somebody who really does understand the law before they actually take that very powerful role as a voter. And so Institute on the Constitution was founded to help Christian citizens fulfill this command that Christ has given us to obey by knowing the founding documents. Because Thomas Jefferson is the one who said that anyone who desires to be ignorant and free desires what never was and never will be. Our freedom is dependent on Christian citizens who will fulfill Christ's command that they do what he has commanded them to do in rendering to Caesar that which is Caesar in our land. Now, when we think of the big picture in terms of what our founders taught about government, you could summarize it this way. They had a biblical view of government. The state is divinely ordained, but the state's authority is limited by God's law, and this leads to patriotism. I will honor my country when it obeys God's law. I will criticize my country. I will seek to change my country when it disobeys my God. I don't wrap myself in the flag and say, my country, right or wrong. No. Patriotism says, God's law will ultimately judge our land. And therefore, when our land violates God's law, murdering 50 million unborn precious children made in the image of God, promoting sodomy and stealing from the citizens through the IRS and the Federal Reserve System, I mean, just a host of sins that our land has been committing. We don't say, I'm a patriot, I'm not going to criticize. No, we say, I want to change. I want to see our country returned to the divinely ordained standards that were established at the foundation. All of this results in a republic. And in a republic, no one is above the law. And the law is fixed, it's absolute, because it's God's law, all of which is based on creation. As our founder said in the Declaration, it's your creator God who gives you rights, and the sole purpose of government is to defend and protect and secure those God-given rights that you have. In contrast, of course, to that is the pagan view of government, which is very much in vogue today, that the state itself is divine, that it's God, and therefore its authority is unlimited. How dare you criticize God because, you know, God can't be criticized. Well, this leads to state worship. I will not criticize my country anytime it does something wrong because it's God. The result of this, instead of a republic, is tyranny. Nobody has freedom except the powers that are in control. They have absolute dictatorial powers, and the rest of us are basically slaves. And, of course, this is all based on a theory, an unfounded theory of evolution, that as man evolves, some men are more evolved than other men. And that's what's in the mind of many of the people in Washington, D.C. They believe that they can violate the law and do whatever they please because they're above the rest of us. For example, Ted Kennedy is quoted as having referred to Christians like me and Dr. Stan and others as a bunch of Neanderthals. That is, we're backwards, we're way down the evolutionary scale, and he's so much far more advanced than we are that he gets to murder Mary Jo Kopechne, and no consequences, he's God. And that's the way many of the people in Washington, D.C. act and believe that they are above the law. We know that that's not the case at all. We know that God, our Creator, gives rights to people. He never gives rights to government. And much as I admire those who and agree in many, many points with those who talk about the war to prevent Southern independence, I object when they talk about states' rights. States don't have rights. The federal government doesn't have rights. No political entity, no government has any rights whatsoever. Rights belong to people because God has given rights to people, and then it's we the people together in covenant that give delegated and enumerated powers to our civil government, which is the federal government and the state governments. State governments and federal governments only have powers that we the people have granted to them, we by the consent of we the governed. And if we no longer consent to the powers or to their abuse of powers, we as the Declaration say have the right to change our form of government and alter it such that it will abide by God's law, that it will obey the restrictions that we the people have placed upon it. So our power is to restrict the government and tell it what it can do and what it cannot and what it must not do. So if we understand our founders' view of law, it really is that there is a supreme law of the universe, God's law, referred to in the Declaration as the laws of nature and nature's God. Therefore, any human law made that violates the supreme law of the universe is no law at all. It's a worthless piece of paper that a human being trying to usurp powers that do not belong to them have done. So all the laws, and I mean, you could make a huge compendium of the laws in America today that are in violation of the supreme law of the universe, God's law of the Bible, and they need to be rejected because they're not true law at all. Now, underneath, in a sense, in submission to, because God's law is absolutely and unchanging, it's superior to everything else, is the United States Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration. They are inferior to God's absolute unchanging law. And beneath them, of course, then are the state laws that are inferior to the Constitution. Any state law that's made in violation of the U.S. Constitution or any federal law made in violation of the U.S. Constitution, those laws are invalid. And so you could say that there's a three levels here. God's law, laws of nature, nature's God, the U.S. Constitution, state constitution, and then down at the bottom are the laws created by the state and federal government, which are only valid if they're in full agreement with the Constitution, state and U.S. Constitution, and with God's absolute unchanging law given to us in His Word. So as disciples of Jesus Christ, we have to obey all of His commands, which means in these United States, our form of government, in order to obey Christ's command to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, we must know the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration, the Bill of Rights, and our state constitution, or else we cannot do what Jesus has clearly commanded us to do. And that, again, is why here at Institute on the Constitution, we've put together what we call our host kit, which is a very simple turnkey way for anybody with any group of people to communicate these principles and to give them a working knowledge of the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, subsequent amendments, as well as the Declaration of Independence. As I mentioned earlier, we're working towards ultimately having 50 courses that would cover each of the state constitutions around the country in order for Christians to fulfill their God-ordained duty. It used to be that this was common civics taught in every school. You couldn't graduate from high school without being clearly able to demonstrate working knowledge of our founding documents. sad to say, today, most people don't, not only don't know these, most people who are the supposed experts in law have never been trained in these things whatsoever. Just about every attorney I've ever met has asked them the question, what did you study in law school when it came to the U.S. Constitution? And they'll all say, we basically studied how to evade the law of the land, how to subvert it, how to get around it, but we never studied what the founders actually meant by the words in the text of the U.S. Constitution.
In fact, I've even talked to attorneys who had never read the Constitution. In fact, Judge Roy Moore said he didn't read the Constitution, you know, for a long time until after he got to law school.
Mm.
And suddenly realized what an amazing document it was. And that's why he got into so much trouble.
That's right. We're praying that God will grant us a grace here in Maryland. In Maryland, neither law school teaches the Maryland State Constitution. Oh, it's on the book that it's offered or whatever. But we're hoping to see to it at least that one of these law schools will require every student that graduates from there to study our course on the Maryland State Constitution. What a world of difference it would make down the road. It's going to take time for all that to trickle through. But if that were the case across the country, students required to study what the founders actually said in the U.S. Constitution and in the state constitutions, we would begin to see a change because it's usually the attorneys that wind up shaping what happens legally in the state capitals as well as in our federal capital.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there. I want you to get out your telephone number and your website, David.
Yes, Institute on the Constitution. You can reach us at our toll-free number, which is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And our website is iotconline.com, iotconline.com, where we have a web store that you can purchase not only our host kit, but many other materials that could help you not only learn these things for yourself, but teach them to your family, ultimately take them to your church and to your whole community, and we can restore our constitutional republic.
Amen to that. And there's only one candidate out there who's running for political office who even talks about the Constitution. That's Ron Paul.
Right.
That is why the media refuses to tell you that every one of the debates that they've had, an internet poll, he's overwhelmingly the one this last week, 74% supported Ron Paul, thought he won the debate. They immediately took the poll down because they don't want anybody to understand about the Constitution. Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protection of thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
This is George Whitehurst Berry with the Genesis Communications Network. Welcome to our new program, Crash. Are you ready? In the coming weeks, we will focus on alternative economics as well as alternative health and survival topics. We are now in the largest debt bubble in U.S. history. A subset of the debt bubble is the real estate bubble, and I believe we are in the beginning stages of what could be the biggest real estate crash in our nation's history. For crash updates, visit our website at HearOnOnline.com. That's HearOnline.com. HearOnOnline.com. That's HearOnline.com.
Yeah.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, all debt has become mathematically impossible to repay, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
IOTCOnline.com. God bless.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I certainly commend Pastor David Whitney. He's doing a great job traveling across the country trying to get people to understand that our loyalty is not to government. It is the Constitution. The Constitution, which I believe was inspired by God. Now, let me just simply point out that Congressman Ron Paul is the one congressman you're not seeing on your on television. It's very, very seldom will they tell you what he says. But, of course, he wants to do away with the Internal Revenue Service. He wants to get back to the Constitution and limit what the federal government does. He wants a legitimate monetary system where they can't destroy the value of your savings through inflation. He wants to get out of the war in the Middle East because we never should have been there in the first place. Because the United States was not attacked by either Afghanistan or by Iraq. So why are we at war with those people, and why have we killed so many of them when they didn't attack us? We were attacked by 15 Saudi Arabians. And, of course, Osama bin Laden himself came from Saudi Arabia. Did we perhaps attack the wrong country? Ladies and gentlemen, we hope many of you are going to stop and think what's going on, and that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. I want to remind you that on the 28th of October, that's a week from next Sunday, we're going to have an all-day seminar at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. We're going to have people coming, speakers from across the country. We hope that you'll be able to come. You're going to need a reservation because we're going to serve lunch. And, of course, we're going to start about 7:30 in the morning and go right on up till 5 or 5:30 in the evening. I think you'll find a fascinating time. We always enjoy it, and we know that many people who've been there before are going to be there again, and we're getting, looks like we're going to have a great turnout, so we hope that you can come. Again, the number to call, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then we do hope that many of you will go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs on the Internet 9 hours a day. Now, 4 hours of that is live, and the other 5 hours are repeats. But then, of course, we have our programs archived. We have them on MP3. You can watch many of our videos free of charge. You can read all of our newsletters, and you're welcome to pull them down and copy them. And you're welcome to copy any of the videos or 4-tape sets we've made. As long as you're not selling them commercially, get the information out. People must understand that behind everything that is going on today are powerful spiritual forces. And people don't understand that because nobody's explaining that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And Christianity is under attack. It's being attacked in our schools today. And that's why they've taken God and prayer out of our schools. You can't even mention God in our schools. When I went to school, why, we had prayer every day. So why did they suddenly take God and prayer out of our schools? Why, very simply, because the Masons took control of the U.S. Supreme Court in 1941 and controlled it for 30 years. And during that time, they took God and prayer out of our schools. And nobody will tell the American people that. And then, of course, we have certainly the infiltration of our churches. We've changed the message of the church. There's no longer any fear of God in our churches. Why, of course, we have a God that loves everybody, would never punish anybody, and would never send anybody to hell. People don't like a God like that. Well, let me tell you, that's the God of the Bible, and you better understand who the God of the Bible is, and I tremble for my country. When I reflect that God is just, and one of these days he's going to bring his judgment on America. So Please, of course, get the information readily available. If you'd like a free catalog from us, well, we'd be glad to send you one, or a health catalog, or an emergency food catalog. But if you'd like to get a one of a copy of our newsletters and you don't have access to the Internet, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you want to understand that they're in the process of destroying the value of our currency and stealing everything that you've spent your whole life working for, you'll certainly want to get some of our more recent newsletters, or certainly of the listen to our programs as we bring on financial experts from across the world who will tell you that they're lying about the rate of inflation. They're lying about the economy. And they're lying about the fact that the dollar has lost almost 40% of its value in the last 3 years and 94% of its value. 96% of his...
How would you like to have a tool to use at home that you can use any time that helps reduce back pain, sciatica, hip pain, and more? A tool that helps relieve the pain and doesn't just treat the symptoms. You need the Sacroleggisacral Stabilizer. One satisfied user states, "I don't believe in gadgets, but this is a miracle." Yes, that's right. Just relax 20 minutes daily or when needed to help correct the muscle imbalance that creates many of these symptoms. Gravity does the work with the Sacroleggi under the sacrum and support under your neck. Help correct posture to help relieve the pain. Better balance.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.